Blog Talk Radio.
Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show for April 13th, 2023. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and we are the Democracy Defenders. Have a good evening. Let's go.
Yes, man. So we're glad you could join us and everything. We have a great show lined up tonight, and I hope people call in because we know people have been listening, and we're grateful for that. People have been sharing also, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get the word out there. And you can check kitchenpolitics123.com as articles are out and about, and I hope you like them and comment and share and what have you. So we're here again tonight. And if you believe that Roe is the only thing that Republicans want to destroy, then you have another thing coming because they're going after every conceivable thing, you know, that America stands for. They're not good people. There have never been good people. And they have no shame nor sense of decency. We continually to see their lust for tyrannical power. They're applying the Southern strategy in full swing, as Tennessee Republicans showed the world who they really are. Surprise, we already knew. American democracy is being assaulted by the far-right, lunatic, autocratic-loving GOP, who has always professed their love for America. But you don't show love by trying to destroy democracy. The vitriol and the hateful rhetoric by the pathologically mendacious, criminally indicted Donald Trump, their dear leader, has caused irreparable damage to the reputation of the United States and great embarrassment around the world. So what can be done to stop their collective madness? Prison is way too good for them, in my opinion. They started out by repeating Roe versus Wade, which has been the law of the land since 1973. The sad thing is that they won't stop there. Is it too late to save the country from inevitable fascism? We're going down a dark path that seems to have no positive ending. We're just being bombarded with Republican hypocrisy and bullshit, basically. What are your thoughts on, you know, what has transpired since the 2022 elections, and what are some of the solutions to stop the disgraceful carnage of our democracy? We need to talk about solutions tonight, and we'll have a whole host of topics to cover tonight. Calling at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everyone, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, Marxist, whoever. You know, and, you know, your voice is what fueled us, and we're eternally grateful for your continued support. Mm-hmm. So this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, mm-hmm. Lori.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, there's been another mass shooting, this time in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
It was at a bank. Unfortunately, 5 people were killed and 8 others mm-hmm. were injured, including 2 officers who were wounded at the Old National Bank in downtown Louisville on Monday morning. The 25-year-old gunman was identified as a bank employee, died after police responded to the bank near the Slugger Field, police said. The 5 victims were mm-hmm. identified as Elliot, 63, Juliana Farmer, 45, James Tutt, 64, and Deanna Eckert, 57. I send my condolences. My thoughts are, when is this going to end? When are they going to have sensible gun laws in this country? When are they going to ban AR-15s and assault rifles? And when are they, people are going to come to their senses? People mm-hmm. kill people. Gun kills a person. And if you are angry, mentally unstable, having a bad day, and you have that type of personality, then
mm-hmm.
you'll probably kill somebody. Intentionally or unintentionally, it's going to happen. So we do have to talk about how we are going to curb this. And everyone, mm-hmm. all these states have come together. But unfortunately, as we know, a lot of the red states will not come together. Those with Republican governors and legislatures will not come together with us. And
mm-hmm.
that's part of the problem and why we're divided. Go ahead,
yes,
David.
Yes, we are. Yeah, and U.S. President Joe Biden this past Monday spoke to the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Democrat. He spoke by
mm-hmm.
phone Monday evening about the deadly shooting in downtown Louisville Bank. And Beshear said one of his closest friends was killed at the Old National Bank, which is not far from the minor league ballpark, Louisville Slugger Field,
mm-hmm.
and Waterfront Park. You know, so Beshear said at a news conference Monday afternoon, quote, "Tom Elliott helped me build a law career, helped me become governor, gave me advice on being a good dad. He's one of the people I talk to most in the world, and very rarely we were talking about my job. He was an incredible friend." You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
everybody has, you know, felt this. Every mass shooting, you know, will
yep.
have, you know, family members, close friends, and what have you. And
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely no excuse. I don't want to hear things about, oh, you know, he was mentally unstable, or, oh, because
mm-hmm.
he's a trans, you know, that's why it happened,
mm-hmm.
or he or she's a trans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Republicans
mm-hmm.
coming up with every excuse in the book not to put gun control laws in. And again,
yep.
we're not trying to take away your guns. What we're trying to do is have you be responsible gun owners. And being a responsible gun owner doesn't mean that, you know, you need to have an AR-15. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to have an AR-15. It's a weapon of war.
No.
It's a weapon of destruction. And we
yeah.
can do better in this country, because far too many people have died on the hands of
mm-hmm.
People irresponsible with guns and everything. And
mm-hmm.
America deserves better. So, you know, the mass shooting, we'll have some statistics here where
mm-hmm.
There's been at least 146 mass shootings so far in 2023. This is according to the Gun Violence Archive.
Mm-hmm.
There have been more mass shootings than days in 2023. And
mm-hmm.
mass shootings are defined as an incident in which 4 or more victims are shot or killed, according to the archives. So, you know, we want to talk solutions
yeah.
here, and hopefully people call in and talk about these solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll have our first call online. Remember, when you call
mm-hmm.
in, say first name, where you're calling from, you know, and what is your solution to this gun violence that's been happening. Hello, welcome
mm-hmm.
to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Welcome to the show.
I guess it must be me. This is Elaine from Michigan.
Hello, Elaine.
Welcome
you?
To the show.
Well, I'm to the point where I'm not asking anymore. I'm demanding. I'm demanding that these weapons of war, they cease to be sold. And if you own one, you don't have to give it up. We're not going to knock at your door and search your house and take your AR-15 or 47, whatever the hell number you want to give it, away. But you will buy $1 million policy for every one of the weapons of war that you have in your house. That just in case somebody should rob your house and use your weapon and hurt someone, they will have money to cover their expenses. And I would demand that if you want to keep that weapon of war, you have $1 million insurance policy. I'm done. I'm done saying compromise. I'm done. We're not even done with April and 146 dead people.
Yeah.
It's a sin.
And you know,
whether you're religious or not, it's a sin.
Yeah, and these are mass shootings. This does not count, you know, things that happen in the city. You know, this is just mass shootings. In other words, like the grocery store, a bank, you know, those sort of things. This is, you know, a restaurant, a venue where, you know, that's what we're talking about. That's what they consider a mass shooting, four or more. But that does not include, like, you know, shoot someone else in downtown Detroit or in Nashville or in Fort Lauderdale or, you follow what I'm saying? Those are not.
And it doesn't cover the little kid that got shot in the eye. What was that? 3 years ago, it was a daycare center where the child happened. She was running a daycare center, and one of the kids happened to find a gun and shot one of the toddlers in the eye. And the child that got shot will be blind the rest of their life.
Yeah, I know. And these, you know, these are the things that happen in real time. And of course, you know, that child really can't be blamed, but the parent or the guardian, whomever it is, should be blamed. That's the way I feel about it. You know, I'm sorry. And you're right, Elaine. I agree with some sort of an insurance policy, a liability policy. I don't even think $1 million is enough, because honestly and truly, if you are gravely hurt, you know, paralyzed, and you need medical assistance your whole life, $1 million gets you nowhere, you know. So,
start.
And
it's,
I agree. We
have
to start somewhere.
It's a start, Laurie. It's a start.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree we have to start somewhere. I really do.
Yeah, I have good news, because in Virginia, where that Virginia that teacher was shot by a six-year-old, she's suing the school. The school board, and the mother of that six-year-old was arrested and charged by her child shooting the teacher. You know, so that's a good starting point there.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a very good starting.
We should
point.
Have, yes, because if it's her gun, she's irresponsible. She didn't put it up in a safe place. She had bullets in them where, you know, the kid could just grab and like, hey, I'm going to school. You know, boom. She may not like, or the kid may not like the teacher, and for whatever reason, shoot the teacher. No, we'll have this debacle where this poor teacher come. Teachers not even get paid enough to go through this crap, you know.
No,
and
they
it's
don't.
Like a,
I don't
like
think
a,
the
a,
average person understands what the hell is going on. I posted a video of a bunch of idiots out there demonstrating their weapons of war, how fast that these bullets come out of that gun. And some of the remarks I got are absolutely bullshit. People don't even understand what those guns are doing. I don't understand what the hell is wrong with this country. Did COVID-19 mess up people's thinking?
I don't know. You know,
which post I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the comments on there are absolutely the most asinine comments. I didn't think I was going to get those kind of comments. they're having fun. Oh, they think they got a little dick. No, excuse me. It was a good demonstration that you can kill 100 people in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
And not one person commented that way. Not one. I am fit to be tied on that. Maybe I should.
I know.
I'm just, if anybody's listening, God damn it, put your thinking cap on and start thinking about what these weapons are doing.
I know.
And then the ones that are buying them, they're buying the bullets that put a hole in your body. It goes in the size of a nickel and it comes out the size of a Mack truck.
Yes, and they think it's
mm-hmm.
funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny, like it's never going to happen to them. But if things continue on the way they have been going in this country, it will happen. You know, you
mm-hmm.
will start saying, am I next? That's what you'll start saying. Am I next?
You know, this family here with the
skin. Now people are getting scared and they're running to the stores and they're buying guns. Oh, boy, that's
mm-hmm.
really the answer. Just put some more guns on the street.
I know.
Yeah,
crazy.
This family seemed awful, where the mother, is irresponsible, make her child go to school and not putting up her
mm-hmm.
girl in a safe place. I mean, working in
mm-hmm.
these schools is like being a prisoner in these public schools, because these kids may not, may come from a single parent family. They may have
mm-hmm.
problems. They may have mental issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We have two more callers online. I will soon
mm-hmm.
get to them, but I
mm-hmm.
want to play this clip here about the Virginia school shooting where the grand jury indicted the mother of a 6-year-old boy who shot his teacher, and here it is.
Okay.
More than 3 months after first grade teacher Abigail Zwerner was shot by her 6-year-old student in class, the mother of that young boy has now been criminally charged. A Newport News grand jury indicting 25-year-old Deja Taylor on one count of felony child neglect and one misdemeanor count of recklessly leaving a loaded firearm so as to endanger a child. Who would be prepared for a 6-year-old to bring a loaded weapon onto school? After authorities announced the 6-year-old would not be charged with a crime, the Commonwealth's attorney said, every criminal case is unique in its facts, and these facts support these charges, but our investigation into the shooting continues. Abigail Zwerner speaking exclusively to Savannah last month.
The initial gunshot went through my left hand. The gunshot then went into my chest up here.
The 25-year-old, who says the bullet still remains lodged in her body, is suing school administrators for $40 million, alleging gross negligence. Zwerner said staff failed to act on several warnings that the 6-year-old had a gun.
Everything about this is so unfavorable. I wonder what you think or how you feel about this student.
I just will never forget the look on his face that he gave me while he pointed the gun directly at me. That's something that I will never forget.
The boy's family also said he suffers from an acute disability and that he was under a care plan at the school that includes his parents accompanying him to class every day. But according to a statement from the family, the week of the shooting was the first week when they were not in class with him. Zwerner's
mm-hmm.
family also alleged that the parents did not agree for him to be placed into special education classrooms. Zwerner's
mm-hmm.
attorney says the new indictment addresses one failure, but school leaders are also accountable.
At that point in time, you have a ticking time bomb in the school,
mm-hmm.
and the school failed to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's
so the
right.
needed special needs attention, and the parents go against the professional's advice and not put them in a special ed class. So, that's why things like this happen. We have two more callers coming in. We'll have Susan
mm-hmm.
from Michigan. We'll have Madeline from Michigan. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Mm-hmm. Say, in my eyes, that is negligence, because if that child was deemed, special needs of any sort,
mm-hmm.
he should have been in the right environment every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the responsibility of the school and of the parents, of course, for sure. The parents
mm-hmm.
first and the school second.
Exactly.
We can go on with that.
And the teacher is suing the school for $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she gets every penny of that money.
Oh,
the mother has to know that, you know, her child is a ticking time bomb, you know, and you know, to leave a gun around where he could reach it is very irresponsible. And I don't know why some people are parents, you know, because I have no idea how to risk.
Yeah, you know, especially if their parents are aware that this child has a disability, has a problem, whatever type of problem it is, a behavioral one or whatever it was, especially if they knew you still leave a gun laying around. What kind of parents are you? What kind of mother are you? I have to ask that question. Crazy. I mean, it's as much her fault as it is, I mean, the child. I don't know if I can blame the child. I don't know.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so Madeline and Susie, you have anything to, you know, add to that, what Laura said?
Actually, hi, Madeline. Hi, Susie.
How you
doing? Hi, Lane. Hi, everybody.
Good.
I believe the gun was on the top shelf of a closet as well, okay? And why was that just a misdemeanor?
Exactly. Like Oxford parents, they're liable for the 15-year-old for buying him a gun, and he went to school with it.
So this is
a no-brainer. The parents are idiots, so they should be liable.
Why would you leave? He's perfectly okay to put into a class with children with regular education, but yet, now it's because he had a problem.
Well, you cannot have it both ways. Well, no, am I wrong, David? Did he have the problem before?
Yeah, because there are several red flags, according to the news report that I just played, that they got wind of what he was doing. And instead of acting upon those warnings, you know, just let go, you know, scot-free, you know, and nothing happened.
That's
so
where the school is negligent.
I agree.
The school would be.
I mean, honestly, and it's a terrible thing to say because it puts these, you know, these school systems, it puts them in such a bad position because it's hard enough, you know, when you have hundreds of students in your school and, you know, you're checking for this and you're checking for that and everything is, you know how it is in a school. It's, you know, it can be chaotic, you know, and they have other students that, you know, having a bad day, et cetera. I understand
that. And that was an elementary school. Try high school where I used to teach. That was interesting.
Try high school where my daughter is.
Right.
You know,
and today Gretchen Whitmer, our governor of Michigan, signed new gun laws, and that's good, but the feedback was crazy. She wants background checks, safe storage of firearms and ammo for shotguns, rifles, and pistols, and to keep them unloaded and stored in locked boxes and safe containers. And then here we come with the other side. Oh, it's unconstitutional.
Oh, please.
Give me a break.
Well,
I could say bad words right now, but I won't. Unconstitutional to require registration, background checks, and safe storage. Give me a break. That's not even the beginning. I want to get rid of the AR-15s, too. There's no reason for them. But this is just common sense, for Christ's sake. And red flag laws. Crazy people shouldn't have guns.
The NRA forgot when they started the NRA, they went around and they touted this, that people should have lockers for their guns. They should have lock safes for their guns. The NRA, back at its conception, when you joined the NRA, you were given locks for your pistols. So where in the hell is the NRA getting off changing what they're saying? I think they got to be reminded what they did when they first started the NRA. They were giving away
locks for pistols. They were encouraging you to buy gun safes for, and at that time, that was before the key, whatever you call them, the 15s, the AR-15s. They were regular hunting rifles. They were encouraging you to go out and get a gun safe. Mm-hmm. So they got to be reminded what the hell they were talking about back in the 70s and 80s. People seem to have a very short memory in the United States. I'm getting a little sick and tired of people having half of their brain dead.
This issue is getting to the point where
I am pissed off at the people. Get your goddamn thinking caps on.
I know.
My friend used to give concealed weapon licenses, you know, teach the class. Show them how to use a gun, how to store it safely, and have the locks on the guns and all that stuff. And you be registered. You had to have the class and everything. Mostly they were store owners and stuff that carried big cash, or realtors that were showing houses that were, you know, a woman with strange people and stuff for protection. And that was a law. So what the hell isn't the law still apply? It doesn't make any sense.
Any idiot can have a gun. Any idiot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And after some of the stuff that I have posted lately and the way it's being answered, these idiots, these same idiots, are able to go out and buy a gun.
You're
scaring the hell out of me.
Yep.
And you know the thing about it, though, is that their gun rights, Trump, forgive the use of the word Trump, children's lives or anybody's lives.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So Governor Whitmer was in East Lansing, and she signed gun prevention violence bills, and here's a clip of it.
And tonight, with new gun violence prevention measures signed into law. Thank you for joining us. I'm Glenda Lewis.
And I'm Brian Abel. Governor Gretchen Whitmer signing the bills this morning in East Lansing. The legislation requires universal background checks and safe storage.
Michigan, knowing the impact of gun violence all too well, with mass shootings at Oxford High School and Michigan State University within 15 months of each other.
7 Action News reporter Simon Shaquette showing us how the new laws are expected to make a difference. It was a packed room here at Spartan Stadium as Governor Whitmer signed new legislation to combat gun violence. You can see Moms Demanding Action and other activists here to attend.
Buckle up. We're going to continue this work.
Speaking proudly to mark a major milestone in the effort to prevent mass shootings and curb gun violence, Governor Gretchen Whitmer quickly signing several bills passed by legislators to increase gun safety.
We did this work together. The students who made their voices heard. Today we're taking common sense gun action to reduce violence and save lives.
The bills created in less than 100 days will establish universal background checks for all gun purchases and safe storage laws for firearms and ammo.
Right now, only pistols require a background check to purchase, but long guns and shotguns do not. That doesn't make any sense.
This follows the deadly shooting at Oxford High in November 2021, the recent deadly campus shooting at MSU, and a student rally in East Lansing yesterday demanding action. Caleb Watson says it means so much to him and his brother Aiden, who was shot and survived Oxford.
It means a lot. I can't even express how grateful I am that we're at this point and that there are people in our government who are willing to do things to make sure that, you know, these things don't happen again.
I feel real good about it because I've been working on this for 2 years. I got involved because of a tragedy.
Informational campaigns are also planned to educate people about the penalties for not keeping a gun locked up securely when a minor is in the home.
Deeply emotional day. Honestly, for the last 7 years, I've been a part of my local Moms Demand Action group. We're celebrating, but we're also remembering with a lot of sadness and grief of the people that we've lost while we've waited.
The bill championed by Senator Rosemary Bayer and Representative Rajiv Puri, also getting praise from groups like Moms Demand Action at a rally in Lansing following the signing.
We want to believe that it's one thing, and it is not.
Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald, also in attendance, to share a powerful message saying that shooting deaths have become a public health crisis.
We need to be talking about how we're going to teach kids about about social-emotional curriculum learning, crisis intervention, behavioral threat assessment. This is a comprehensive approach that is needed.
Governor Whitmer said this is not the end, but the beginning of more work being done to make our schools and our communities safer. From East Lansing, Simon Shaycutt, 7 Action News.
Thank you, Simon. And it's
yes, so that was Governor Whitmer doing a good job as governor of the state of Michigan. Yep. And I hope Bill Lee, the governor of Tennessee, the Republican Trumper, and QAnon moron, listened and watched what Governor Whitmer did, because that's leadership right there. Bill Lee and other Republicans in red states, especially in the South, they suck.
Yeah.
Republicans suck in general.
You know, David, it is so funny when you think about the contrast between a Democrat and a Republican when it comes to gun safety. In Florida, they just passed. They don't need a permit, and they have open carry in Florida. Can you imagine?
Well, they have concealed carry, too, without a permit. I was just seeing that. I was going to say it, but you beat me to it.
Yeah.
And without training or background checks. Takes effect July 1st.
Yeah.
And red flags, too. You know, red flag laws don't count either.
No. So
it's not.
This is a deep contrast that we have in this country. This is the division that we see. It is basically black and white, if you really think about it. You know, the division is black and white. It's so simple to see. It's not hard to figure out. It really isn't. So the next step, in my eyes, is, of course, the red flag laws. They need to do that. And I want the AR-15 banned, and I want assault rifles banned. That's what I want. I want them banned. I don't think it's enough.
You got to think about the bullets. You got to think about the bullets. Those have got to be banned. And you have to think about the pistols that can have those, I don't know what they're called, but they're a little round clip that you put in there. And that makes a pistol rapid shooting, and it can rapidly shoot 30 rounds out. That has to be banned also. We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop until this killing stops.
Right. And the thing is that we have to basically, you know, test the waters here, because in Michigan, the reason that we have what we have right now in Michigan, let's be perfectly clear, we have a Democratic legislature. We are blue right now in Michigan. So we have all this work that's being done in Michigan for that reason, and it's for the people. Now, we have to remember all of this, because when the next election comes, we need to stay the way we are with another Democratic governor and attorney general and secretary of state, et cetera. We need this type of representation because they represent the people. They, you know, people like DeSantis does not represent the people. He does not.
And we have to throw things back at the NRA. We have to remind them that when they first started, they were for safety, 1,000% for safety. I can't think of that rocker from Michigan that was going around.
Kid Rock.
We're talking 78, 79, 80, 81, 82. He was going around the country, and he was talking about gun safety for the NRA. I can't think of his name, and it's not Kid Rock. It's that other idiot.
Yeah, I'm not really sure who it is.
I can't think of his name. You know who I'm talking about. He's from Michigan.
I kind of think I know.
You know who I mean.
Yeah,
we talked about him at the last time we were on the air.
Yeah, we probably I know, it's annoying.
So,
you know?
Well, we have to remind the NRA what they stood for at the beginning, what changed. What changed? Big
money
from the gun industry. It's with a follow
money.
The money.
It's all about money.
And no matter what we do, follow the money.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's
all about money, Elaine. I don't give a damn about kids. I don't give a damn about anybody else but money. And they're getting big tax breaks because Republicans, for example, want to have a $70 trillion in further tax cuts to the wealthy.
Yeah.
if and when they come back to the White House and control the House and the U.S. Senate. We're not going to make it happen in 2024. Speaking of Florida, and before we go on to other things in Florida, you know, in Texas, the governor wants the parole board to pardon this man who shot and killed this other guy. You know, it was straight up murder, but we'll get to that later on. But since we're on Florida, there's this bill that waiting to be signed by Governor DeSantis, and the Florida House and the Florida Senate, dominated by Republicans, passed a 6-week abortion ban. It heads to DeSantis' desk and everything. And, you know, if I say, like every other woman I know, if you don't believe in an abortion, then don't get one. It's between a woman and her doctor and whoever they should believe in. I don't understand why people just don't take responsibility, you know, when...
I don't understand.
I mean,
the men, and they're mainly men, there are some women, I do have to say, and they're all Republican, and we know that, why they are hell-bent on trying to control women's lives. What is it that they want? That they want to control women's lives. I mean, honestly and truly, women do not need their lives controlled by a freaking man. I am sorry to say that. Will not happen.
Are they Taliban wannabes?
I don't know what it is.
It's religion. It's religion. Mm-hmm. It's clothed in religion.
Well, you know,
and that's getting to be bullshit. If you want to believe the way you want to believe, fine. You believe your religion. You keep me the hell out of it.
You know,
The Taliban is conservative. Why? Religion.
I believe that the religion part is a bunch of bullshit. Okay.
Exactly.
I believe that these people are hiding behind the so-called Christian right. Religion, whatever. They are hiding behind that because they know that they can hide behind it. But that isn't how they think. $1 million, if that one of these Republicans, governors, representatives, senator, congressman, if their daughter or their wife was raped and got pregnant, I would say they would be on the first jet wherever they could go to get that fixed. That is exactly what they would do.
Before it was passed, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And all the rich can do that, too. It's just the poor people that can't leave work or their state or don't have money to travel. They're the ones that suffer.
Right.
The minister's daughter is in Europe.
Yeah.
She would go to Europe pudgy and come back skinny.
Some Western state recently passed a law where if you travel across state lines, then if you're
Idaho.
The adult, allow that to happen. Was it Idaho? Then you can be arrested and charged. Yeah, Idaho and everything.
It's
just
Idaho.
Preposterous. And it's taking out, sanitary napkin machines in schools. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got to the nurse, if you're on your period to get pads or anything.
Yep.
These people are insane. And before you make your point, Lori, I want to play this clip.
Go ahead, David.
I want to play this clip from WFTX TV in Naples, Cape Coral, Fort Myers, where they talk about the 6-week abortion ban, waiting for the sandwich to sign at his desk, and here it is.
This is breaking news.
Begin with breaking news from Tallahassee just into our newsroom. The Florida House has just voted to approve a 6-week abortion ban, meaning all it needs now is a signature from the governor. That final vote was 70-40 with strong Republican support. The 6-week abortion ban now heading to Governor Ron DeSantis' office. As Nadine just said, it came after hours of debate and discussion in the Florida House, including a protest that briefly shut down the chamber. That's right. So this bill bans abortion at 6 weeks instead of the current 15-week ban, which actually was just passed last year. Exceptions in this bill do include for rape, incest, and human trafficking up to 15 weeks, only fatal fetal conditions. are accepted beyond that. These are images of protesters in Tallahassee this week. Democrats vowed to do everything they can to stop the bill, saying women will turn to dangerous and deadly options if access to this procedure is cut.
We are ready, we are sharp, we are prepared. We have filed over 60 amendments, and we intend to give them the fight of their lives.
So the effort's falling short this afternoon. We know Republicans have supermajority in Tallahassee, so it is now on the governor, who says that he welcomes, quote, great life legislation, meaning he is likely to sign this six-week ban. But even with his signature, this bill hinges on one more thing to actually take effect, and that is the Florida Supreme Court. The justices are set to consider the current 15-week law likely later this year, and if they find it violates Florida's broad privacy protections, the six-week ban would be gone as well.
Yes, so the Republicans in Florida has gone haywire, even more haywire. Mm-hmm. If a woman needs an abortion because of her health or because she was raped or whatever reason, no matter what the reason is, nobody has a right to tell a woman what she does with her body. You know, they want big government out of people's business. Then what is more big government than trying to be in a woman's uterus, in a woman's vagina? You know,
a woman doesn't even know she's pregnant at 6 weeks. That's full of shit. It's a month and a half. Who knows they're pregnant after? Yeah, miss the period by a couple weeks? You don't, you know, I've never been like clockwork. How would you know? It's horseshit.
In many cases, you do not know. And that's the sad part. And for them,
and then, this is based on religion, right? In the Constitution, there's a separation of church and state. They're merging it. They're over, you know, they call gun rights under Constitution. Well, this is breaking the Constitution, church and state.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no business in a doctor's office and telling women what to do. Plus, on top of that, they don't want to pay for birth control. You can't have it both ways, right?
They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Just look in the past where we had several incidents where, you know, Republican, born-again Christian, family violence people. There was this one guy, was it in Arkansas, one of them southern states, I can't remember now, it happened about three, probably 4 years ago, where he had a mistress and got her pregnant. And, you know, remember this guy ran on family violence and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally tried to force the woman, his mistress, to have an abortion and everything. And he even tried to pair her off to say, hey, don't say anything. And when the story busted and everything, you know, he had to resign. But again, then again, when the election came around again for him to run, he ran and he won. That's the thing that boggles my mind, the sheer hypocrisy of these Republicans. It's the one thing, do another thing. Yeah, he won. I try to think, is it Arkansas? Was it Arkansas? Was it Tennessee? One of them southern states. You know, but the sheer hypocrisy, you can point out the hypocrisy to these QAnon people, these Trumpers, whoever, and I still vote for these retarded nut jobs. You know?
And how many clergy abuse women and children, you know? How many? For every religion. The Mormons and everything. There was just a big stink about one of them. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then they have the right to tell women what to do. You got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I love to say, you're woke. That's a bad thing. I love being woke. You know why? It's much
they
more
don't even
nicer
know what woke
than being
is.
An ignorant fucking twat. It's much more nicer being an ignorant, more nicer than being an ignorant twat like these people, these Republicans, these fascists, you know. But 2024 coming, and you know, we put them in a place. The voters, we put them in a place. Because this madness has to stop. It has to stop.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
The one thing that makes me have hope for 2024 when I think about it was because of what happened in Tennessee. With the two young men that were, kicked out and because of the media, because of public outcry, you know, because of the protesting, you know, everyone was relentless and they're back to work. So I have to say that that gives me a little bit of hope, and because it just shows you that these young people are not going to put up with this shit. They're not going to put up with these people trying to tell them what to do and what to, you know, what to medicine to take or can't take, or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just they can't, they cannot live like this. There are three things that they want. They want gun control. They want abortion rights. And they also just want, they want democracy. They want democracy. And it's every day you can see that this is what they want. And it's going to happen. The Republicans have no clue of what's going to happen to them. And in Tennessee, they should be ashamed of themselves. Those people that voted to oust those two young men and the woman won by one vote, they should be so embarrassed. But they probably don't know what embarrassment is.
And plus, they put all the doctors in bad positions. They can't help women that are going through a miscarriage.
Yes.
They can't help abort a dead baby that is going to rot in her womb and give her sepsis and stuff like that, kill the mother. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And now we're going to have the Justice Department is going to take an emergency dispute over the medication, abortion drug, to the Supreme Court. Attorney General Merrick Garland said on Thursday. Garland's announcement came after a federal appeals court overnight froze parts of a Texas judge's order that would have suspended the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's approval of the medication abortion drug. But the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals only partially granted the request by the Justice Department and the drug manufacturer to put U.S. District Judge Matthew Kuzmic's ruling on hold, with the appellate panel effectively making the drug harder to obtain by leaving in place aspects of Kuzmic's, that's that judge, ruling that will reverse moves by the FDA that expanded access to medication abortion pills. But at least Merrick Garland is trying to take a step to do something about that, because banning that pill, that abortion pill, will also affect states like Michigan and Washington State and California, the states that do have abortion rights. This pill will affect them as well. And I don't really understand how that all works. It doesn't make sense that one judge can have that kind of power. But he was
exactly
a Trump appointed judge, by the way, just so you know.
It's crazy.
And God help us if we have another pandemic and some Supreme Court judge says, I'm sorry, but I will not okay the vaccinations.
Yeah, for
that's
sure
the dangerous precedent we're setting.
Yeah.
And
some judge decides
like
to get on his high horse and says, I'm sorry, but the state of Texas no longer will require polio shots.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're, it's opening a can of worms for sure.
Yeah. So this is where we're heading in this country. If people don't start, pay attention, stand up, let your voice be heard, call your legislatures. They don't have to be your legislature. Call all of them. Just start calling and tell them, either do this or we're going to find a way to get you out. Your job's on the line.
That abortion drug, they're not going to mail it to you, and you have to go to the doctor three times before you get it. By that time, it's too late to take it.
I know. It's crazy.
It's all bullshit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. You know, okay, so moving on now, the Gang of Eight of 10 documents found at Trump, Pence, and Biden properties, and the lawmakers in the congressional group, commonly referred to as the Gang of Eight, have begun receiving documents recovered from the residences of these, the former President Trump, current President Biden, and former Vice President Pence. Senator Mark Warren is chairman for the Intelligence Committee in the U.S. Senate. The ranking member is Marco Rubio from Florida. And for months, they've been pressuring the administration for access. Senator Warren, I hope he doesn't overlook documents that may be buried in a certain coffin on a privately owned golf course. You know, I hope they can dig it up and see what's in this the coffin of Donald Trump's ex-wife, because she was cremated. And how the hell you need 10, 15 people to lift that coffin? You know, that looks suspicious. You get what I'm saying? You know, so...
Yeah, we've said that before. You're absolutely right. I mean, why did they need all the, why did she have to have, I mean, when you're cremated, you don't need a coffin, you know?
Exactly.
And if you want to put on the golf course, he could have built a little monument for her somewhere, honestly and truly, if you think. So, yeah, that's very suspicious. I agree with you.
Yes, yeah, so I feel like a clip there now of the breakdown. Pence, Biden, and Donald Trump on a Gang of Eight obtaining documents.
After months of feuding with the Biden administration over classified documents, Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Mark Warner and Vice Chairman Marco Rubio are finally getting what they asked for. They are among a congressional group informally known as the Gang of Eight, and that Gang of Eight has been receiving documents recovered from the residences and offices of former President Trump, then Vice President Joe Biden, and former Vice President Mike Pence. Warner and Rubio, for months, have been pressuring the administration for access. CBS News intelligence and national security reporter Olivia Gossis joins us now. Olivia, catch us up on what is the importance of this oversight success story for Warner and Rubio.
Absolutely. So you'll recall, Major, that there was a dust-up in recent weeks between these senators and the Department of Justice. The senators are making the argument, hey, we have a right and a responsibility as congressional overseers to understand what national security interests may have been contained in these documents, what may have been harmed, eliminated, compromised.
How big a deal or how small a deal is this?
Exactly. The Department of Justice said, of course, we understand. We want to work with you. Unfortunately, we have not one but two special counsel investigations underway, and therefore we can't facilitate access to these documents just yet. As one official told me at the time, a lot of lawyers got involved. Those lawyers apparently have gotten past this impasse. And, you know, of course, thanks to the insistence of Senators Warner and Rubio, it now appears that these lawmakers have been getting access to the documents as of last week.
Will the public learn very much about what they're going to learn?
Probably not. I mean, intelligence has a shelf life. It's perishable. It's possible that these documents don't contain too much of value today, but that's exactly what they want to understand, because as we're learning in a related or an unrelated but different classified document story, when these documents are improperly handled, there's a risk that adversaries learn what we know, learn how we know what we know. If there's a human spy involved, that life could be put at risk. If there is electronic surveillance involved, a device could be shut down, and we thereby lose valuable windows into the planning of potential adversaries.
But the documents that we are focused on thus far, 28th of February and the 1st of March, well, they were somewhere in the web, and where exactly and who had access at that point, we don't know. We simply don't know at this point. I will tell you that we take this very seriously, and we will continue to investigate and turn over every rock until we find the source of this and the extent of it.
That was Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. He was speaking at the Pentagon about leaked documents and everything. And surprisingly today, this Air Force man was arrested because on some video game, let out and expose secrets of the United States and everything in a video game, you know, where 100 or more people were playing and everything. And how could this airman do this and everything? You know, that's just weird. And I hope, you know, he gets court-martialed for it and gets the proper punishment he deserves, because, you know, people's lives are put at risk, you know, when you do things like that, you know. And like the reporter said, Major Garrett, that, you know, it have a shelf life. But secrets like these should not be exposed. Because too much is at stake for the United States. You know,
absolutely too much is at stake. You're absolutely right. Every day there's something at stake in this country. anymore. You know, it's just beyond, you know, trying to work it out every single day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, what's going to happen today? You know, it's sickening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tim Scott, what do you, ladies, starting with Lori, what do you think of Tim Scott? He's a Republican senator from South Carolina. He's a Republican running for the 2024 nomination. Does he stand a ghost of a chance of getting that nomination? Lori?
Oh, you're asking me? I'm sorry.
Yes,
I thought you were talking.
Yes.
Tim Scott, I think he's a goofball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes one thing clear. And he's dipping his toe into 224 waters. He'll be a candidate who knows how to say Corinthians 2. He can probably even quote the book from memory. So, in other words, he is a good Christian, and he knows,
mm-hmm.
you know, the probably by heart. So that makes him a great presidential candidate. And a good reason to run. That's what I
mm-hmm.
say about it. Makes me want to laugh.
Yeah, and Tim Scott, you know, you'd think a highly educated man like him would sit through the Republican fallacy that, you know, there are four minorities and everything. Because as far as I'm concerned, they're probably mocking him. Not probably. They're mocking him and ridiculing him. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, look at this Negro, this upper Negro, you know, claiming that he's running for president. How dare he, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on Tim Scott is that he's an Uncle Tom, and he's
mm-hmm.
a house Negro, and he has nowhere going in terms of presidential politics, you know?
I don't
and,
realize.
I mean, hey, if you want to run, run. But don't be surprised if, you know, the kooks in the Republican Party who support them, that are Trumpers,
mm-hmm.
you know, treat you badly and even probably try to do something worse. Because this
mm-hmm.
is who these people are. You know, if you're black,
yep.
if you're not white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, they hate you already,
mm-hmm.
coming out of the gate. You could be Christian till you're blue in the face. You're black,
mm-hmm.
you're brown, you're a woman, you're gay. You know, you're not one of them, then they'll ridicule you and mock you and try hurt you, not just
mm-hmm.
by the words that they say, but by actions, you know? So, Tim Scott, you're a fool. You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like Mike Pence as well. He makes it very well known, you know, that he's a Bible thumper. Let's just put it that way, you know? And these people think, for some reason, that because, you know, they mention the Bible or, you know, a few phrases from the Bible, that makes them better people than anyone
mm-hmm.
else. And that's a line of bullshit. That's all I can say about that. Because if you are a good person and a good Christian, you don't need to tell people about it. You don't need to recite it out loud. You just do your thing quietly and help someone peacefully, and that's how you do it. You don't need to tell
mm-hmm.
people who are.
Mm-hmm.
That you're a good person
and one,
because you're a so-called Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
And one month ago, Tim Scott from South Carolina went to visit in Iowa, kind of sort of the Iowa first caucuses. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a joke. You know, he is a
mm-hmm.
waste of space. He has no
yeah.
chance of not even getting a vice presidential nomination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. Go back to D.C., the Capitol Hill in the Senate. The job, Tim Scott, you know, cause
mm-hmm.
this is all about power, and you have no power within the Republican Party. You're a joke. You're a loser,
mm-hmm.
just like Donald Trump, you know.
Yeah, it's
what a damn
mean,
joke.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're going to base your, you know, campaign on, well, that's how you come out of the gate. I'm sorry, but that's a non-starter for me. Non-starter.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in this country? It's a non-starter. So, yeah, go back
mm-hmm.
and do what you were doing. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. So, any of you ladies have anything to add on to that? Tim Scott?
Absolutely.
You know,
I do. It's Madalena.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go
mm-hmm.
ahead, Kat.
Yes, he's from South Carolina. His chances of being president are zero to none. But think about it. He's going back to a job where he has an awesome pension, medic benefits for life, a good income, probably an office, and a driver. Wouldn't you? So that's basically. I would
right
love that job too.
Well, yeah, and not under. You know, I mean, he probably understands what's going on. But then you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Matt Gaetz, and Jim
they're
Jordan
doing the same thing.
Oh, what the hell they're doing? You know, they have no clue of how things work. They just throw stuff against the wall and hope it'll stick. It's a joke.
Well, maybe we ought to start taking away their perks. Period.
Oh, yeah.
All of them. All of them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think so. You know? I mean, they don't deserve them. What do they deserve?
But they should have
the same bennies that we get. He gets Social Security and Medicare when you're out of there, and that's about it.
Yeah.
No, they don't even want you to have that.
I know.
No, they don't.
They get the same thing we get.
Mm-hmm.
They want that too. So
I know, but
okay.
They don't get
so
anything
where
else
we're
on
at.
Top of that. Yeah, like they get pension and all that stuff for doing what?
I do believe they're
inside trading, and they can make a fortune on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed to do inside trading.
Congress.
That's got to cease.
Yeah, the thing about,
they also can take
the
money
about,
from the lobbyists. That's got to cease.
Yeah,
yes.
The thing about
time
Congress is
Americans
ever have a day.
Start thinking.
Go ahead, David.
In Congress,
sorry,
ever have a day.
Sorry, I apologize.
Ever have a day in Congress to have, like, vacation or time off or spring break or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like Elaine said, I wish I had their job where you have full medical, dental, full everything. That's a lot. And even when you retire or you lose, you know, running for re-election, you still get a pension. So why are these people going on vacation? I'm not saying you shouldn't have vacation. Every job deserves a vacation. But these people go vacation every other day. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
and
you know who's ridiculous to? Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Because this idiot, this lying piece of shit, you know, there's no other words to describe who she is.
Nope.
She introduced the Social Media Safety Act. She introduced it 1 month ago. And I think it was passed. I don't know if she signed it as a law yet. Where the Arkansas bill would require social media companies to verify ages of the users. And, you know, through parental guidance, or there's a certain thing you have to go through where you have to tell these social media companies what age you are and what have you, because they want to designate this Safety Act into law, saying that, you know, minors should not be on social media at a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like limiting the time and everything. Isn't that the job of the parents? Why are you going into people's business again? I mean, I'm not saying there are not bad people out there who, you know, are trying to groom children. Who better than Republicans who are trying to groom children?
Yeah.
But we get that later on. You know, but again, it's government overreach. It's the responsibility of the parents to oversee what a child watch online and watch on kids and what have you.
And
why is Sarah Huckabee Sanders doing this?
Because she's trying to look like a good mama or good mom, and she's taking care of the state like a good mama would. But you know what? If you're a good parent, a mother, a father, if you're a good parent or a good guardian, then you can block certain things. You can monitor certain things. There's that you can have. There are ways to monitor your children.
And you can take.
We know that. So.
And you can take the gun off the top shelf of the closet.
Yes. Exactly. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they have
And you know what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said? Quote, our goal is to protect kids. So if you want to protect kids, why are you getting rid of laws not outlawing child labor in Arkansas? in Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell? You know, is that a talk two-faced? You know, these, and she's a liar ever since she was a press, she was press secretary for Donald Trump. She lied every single day. And yet still the people of good old state of Arkansas elected her. What buffoonery. Go ahead, Lori.
Oh. And, you know, the other thing is, if she's worried about children's safety, why don't they have stricter gun laws there? Why? Why not? Isn't that part of the equation? Let's go for a circle then. You know? It's just beyond, like I said in the beginning, if you pay attention for just 1 week, just pay attention for 1 week, and I swear you will see black and white. You will definitely see black and white, and then you'll be able to understand what's happening in this country. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't express it. I really can't. I don't know how. I get so frustrated. You know, there's so many things that are going on. I mean, we can talk about, you know, the next case is coming up for Trump. We can do that. I mean, it's just, and if you all noticed, he was in New York today, but there was no fanfare for him. Nobody gave a crap.
Mm-hmm.
They had a protest, and it's, and that they were lined at a particular street, and the big sign said, nobody is above the law.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Nobody cares, you know.
No, no. We had an anti-protest against Trump in New York. They had a big banner that said, as he was passing, Trump, nobody is above the law.
Well, that's awesome. That I like. That's exactly how it should be. Because he is not above the law. So we're going to go one step farther. We're talking about all these crazy red states. Missouri, David, is next. Missouri Senator. Yes. The GOP state senator, Mike Moon, from Missouri, sparked an outcry that was suggesting that children as young as 12 years old should have a right to marry with parental consent.
His suggestion,
which came,
I
heard the debate. I was so pissed. His suggestion, which came during a Tuesday debate in the state legislature, conflicted with his reasoning for introducing a bill banning transgender health care. So Moon previously voted against raising the minimum marriage age in Missouri from 15 to 16. So in other words, he is against helping a transgender with medical care, but he's okay with a 12-year-old getting married. And guess
exactly.
Taliban.
There you go.
Yes.
Taliban.
Yes. And when he was when he was pushed, he said, "Do anyone know of a marriage of a 12-year-old getting married?" And the response was no. There was like, what? And he said, "Well, I do, and they're still happily married." That's what he said. And
that's child abuse. That's not marriage.
You know, when you have somebody like Raven McForehead, that's Matt Gaetz in the Republican Party, then anything goes really. We call this fool in Missouri, you know, who again call himself Christian. Why would you want to marry a child who's 12 years old? They're not developed. They're just starting to develop and everything. Do they want to have the bragging rights to say, oh yeah, you know, I'm the first one and I'm the best she ever had? You know, brainwash a child and groom a child and everything, but yet still Marjorie Taylor Greene and the likes of Matt Gaetz and whomever else saying that Democrats are pedophiles and what have you. Who's the biggest?
Yeah.
Who's a bigger pedophile than Matt Gaetz and this asshole from Missouri? You know?
Yeah.
And again,
no,
why do people vote for these bitches?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Yeah.
I cannot understand it. I try to break it down and comprehend how this thing.
Yeah.
It's all the gerrymandering.
Yes. And then what he went on to say,
happily married couple that he knew from college as an example in his argument against raising the age limit back when the state's minimum age was 15. He said, as he's an advocate for the marriage of 12-year-olds to adults, he says their marriage are long-lasting when they marry as children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But
wow.
I picked answers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And yet,
I have no
DeSantis is in Florida having a fit over books, over transgender, fighting with Disney, and yet this guy from Missouri is in the same party as him. So what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and keeping track of little girls' periods, too.
Yeah.
Well,
that's so crazy.
All of it.
That
all
is
of
so
it.
Creepy. That is so goddamn creepy. You
I know.
I remember last year, a year ago, this Tulsa man, I think it was a year ago, where he got charged and probably in jail now, suffering, where he belongs. After he got a 12-year-old child pregnant, and the 12-year-old child delivered that that baby and everything, you know?
How traumatic.
Yeah, that was in Tulsa, Oklahoma a year ago. He's not a partridge, he's just a regular Joe and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the full extent of the law was meted out to him, which he deserves. Because this guy was something like 23 years old, and his child was 12 years old. And it turns out that he... 24-year-old, his name is Juan Miranda, and he got his 12-year-old. He even called a 12-year-old his girlfriend. I mean, what a goddamn loser and a pedophile and a rapist. No, this is what Republicans trying to legalize in Missouri.
Yeah.
It's just atrocious. I want to vomit, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all well and good when white people do it, our constituents do it, people vote for us, you know? The rural areas, yes, let's have all of that, you know. But when other people do it, which is wrong, like a prison, which I should, so it's good for the abuse, but not for the gander. Why is that? The whole double standard and the hypocrisy by the Republican Party again. And these people call themselves born again Christians. If Jesus were to come back on earth now, they'd probably kill his ass again. These people are so insane and disgusting. Matt Gaetz, raping Matt Forehead, as I call him, he is so disgusting. I want, hopefully, he chokes on a chicken bone or something. I mean, good Lord, did he have plastic surgery? Have you seen him lately? You know?
No.
He's just atrocious. Man, make me want to vomit. You know, much less hearing his voice. Marjorie Taylor Greene on 60 Minutes saying, oh, you know, Democrats are pedophiles. You know, I'm so disappointed at CBS for putting on that loudmouth idiot on 60 Minutes program. Because she skewed her hate, give her free airtime to spew more hate and everything. And she tried to tone it down, as you saw, you know, in the interview and everything. But this is who running America now in the House, you know? And she's Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives. God forbid Kevin McCarthy drop down. Will she become Speaker? That's scary because, you know, after the President or the Vice President, if the Vice President is incapacitated, then it goes to the Speaker of the House, to the President.
Oh, my God.
Imagine Marjorie Taylor Greene as President of the United States. Hell
oh
no.
Oh, my God.
War would start immediately.
Shoot us off.
You know? But
shoot us off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot us off.
She don't belong
you
there.
Know?
She don't belong there.
And then
she
David,
was the one who called for the division between red states and blue states. The nerve of this bitch. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could really say what I really feel about Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Carrie Lake. But, you know, we kicked off of the air, so... You know, I'd rather write about it on our blog. On our blog, our article is coming out and probably out by now. Visit kitchenpolitics123.com. You know, articles are there. More articles, they come weekly. And I decided that Sundays will be the time my article will be published every Sunday, starting not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. So, you know, hopefully the article that I wrote recently, it's going to be out by... You know, tonight, or if it's not out already, so I hope people enjoy and comment and share and what have you. We need to have a discussion about, you know, the Republican Party and a fascist, you know, state that they're leading us down.
Yeah, and the other thing, David, I don't know if people know that on our website, you can actually go to our website. If you want to listen to any of the podcasts, you can just click on them and listen to them. So you can do that as well. And then I also wrote an article, but I'm doing something a little different. David is doing more, like he explained, and I'm doing on the Great Lakes. I'm just doing a little history of the Great Lakes and how important the Great Lakes are. And I'm going to do a few articles on that, and then I'll decide what I'll do after that. So I thought that was important, and that was important to me. So that's what I decided to do. So you can go on probably tomorrow. They'll probably be there. Yeah.
Yes. So in Austin, Texas, an alternate juror and tribal U.S. Army sergeant convicted of murder said Wednesday that Texas Governor Greg Abbott's rush for pardon and egregious overreach to wipe aside the jury's unanimous decision over 2020 shooting during a Black Lives Matter protest. So in an interview with the Associated Press, Jerry Dowell said prosecutors put on a convincing case against Daniel Perry, who was in his car working as a rideshare driver when he was shot. When he shot this 28-year-old guy, Garrett Foster, who had illegally been carrying an AK-47 while marching with demonstrators through downtown Austin. An alternate, Dowell, did not have a vote in convicting Perry, but said she was in a room for deliberation, and she agreed with the verdict handed down by Friday, you know. So, you know, this is a travesty, really, you know, because Governor Abbott is now seeking a pardon for this person who shot another black man walking on an AK-47 in a Black Lives Matter peaceful protest, you know. And imagine if the roles were turned around where that was a white man who he was walking with AK-47, and a black man shoot him. You know, the black man wouldn't have a chance in hell against him talking about, you know, getting a parole and, you know, forgiveness and what have you. This is what Texas is going through because they have an asshole, like they do in Arkansas and other red states like Florida, as governor. This is where we're at. Go ahead.
What is his argument? Why did he want to drop? I mean, why? I mean, what is the reason? What's his reasoning behind it? Is there a logical reason behind it? I mean, I don't understand.
According to the governor, Governor Abbott, he was saying that they basically have a stand your ground law like they do in Florida, and the white man who have a timeshare thing that he did the crime and shoot the person, the black man on the AK-47. That he felt threatened and was defending himself because he felt threatened. His life was in jeopardy. Because a black man had an AK-47 in his peaceful Black Lives Matter protest, so he shot him in self-defense. That's such bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
You see?
If
the roles were reversed and a black man shoot a white man in such circumstances, would Abbott come out and say, oh, you know, maybe we need to pardon this man? No, because black people don't matter.
Got off the way he did.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And
that's
Wisconsin is so gerrymandered. That's why that judge, that state, is completely held on with the Republican fist. Okay?
Yeah.
That's why that kid walked.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's a shame.
That was the example.
It is a shame.
Now what do we do?
I know. Exactly. It's terrible.
Okay. Now what do
do? Yeah.
Thank God they redrew our lines in Michigan and we became Democratic. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But for now, Ms. Susie, that's what I'm
trying to do. Did it. I love her.
Yes. Absolutely. But we have to remember, because people have short memories. You know, they really do. Very short memories. So we have to remember when we had Governor Schneider, you know, and Engler and, you know, all those trash governors that we had that ruined our state. Now we have someone that's responsible, and we have a legislature that's responsible and cares for the people. And they're just going at it so fast. But what I'm afraid of is that if we lose power in 24, and that's what they're hoping for, everything that they have worked for will go to hell. And not a joke. And reverse.
Then
and
we can't let them forget what they did to us. We have to keep reminding people and over and over and over that we got to keep the narrative going. And I remembered the person's name, Ted Nugent. And if you happen to listen to this podcast, Ted Nugent, I remember listening to you talking from the NRA, saying that we need gun safes, we need safety, we need parents that are responsible. That's before the AR-15. Do you remember Ted Nugent when you went around and you touted safety? Well, I'm reminding you. And I'm reminding anybody that has a membership in the NRA, remember what Ted Nugent said at the beginning, at the conception of the NRA. Yeah. It was a safety group. So get off your high horses. We don't want your damn guns. We just want the military weapons the hell off the street.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think about Ted Nugent, so we'll have to take with a grain of salt. Because Ted Nugent is not really intelligent. You know, just like Tucker Carlson.
What I'm getting at is there's enough dummies that listen to him. So we got to remind Ted Nugent what he said. And we have to remind the dummies that listen to him what Ted Nugent said at the beginning. I don't put too much faith in people lately. They've got too short of memories. They're going to have it good for a few years, and then they're going to go right back to the same stupid shit.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah. And that is the problem. Mm-hmm. We've always talked about that. Mm-hmm. You know, people read, people listen to news clips.
They listen to some
has-been
rock star.
Yeah, they read headlines. They listen to news clips. But that's as far as they go. You know, they don't
dig in. So we have to keep reminding them.
I know.
So if you've got a membership in the NRA and you play his records and that other idiot, Kid Rock, remember what they said at the conception of the NRA. The NRA was a safety group. Safety.
Yes, it was. Yep.
And when we go out and we demand what we demand, we've got to keep reminding the NRA that they stood for safety.
Yeah, at that time. But now...
No, we can keep reminding them.
I know.
Just
know.
It don't make any sense reminding them because these people are morons. They don't listen to anybody. You cannot have a conversation with them because these people are inbred.
You have
morons.
To remind the populace. And the only way you can remind the populace is you've got to keep throwing the narrative out. How many years did they say that nobody's going to listen to the fact that we're coming for your guns? Well, evidently they were listening. So now it's our turn.
Yeah.
Now it's our turn to keep the narrative up.
Yes, yes. Well, a new caller. I remember when you call in, the number is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Hello, new caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? 734 Eric.
Eric Brantley.
Hi. Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Eric. How are you, Eric?
Great, great. Glad I could make it here. Got off work a lot earlier tonight.
Oh, good.
Yes, man. We've been speaking about different things, different topics, and I want to catch your thoughts on Senator Tim Scott, U.S. Senator Tim Scott. He is running for the Republican nomination for 2024. We spoke about this about 5 minutes ago. While your input, do you think he has a chance in hell of becoming a Republican nominee, even for vice president?
No.
Well, let me start by saying this. I can tell you right now, he's not going to be the nominee, let alone be the president. As far as his chances to be the vice nominee, I want to say no, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. And the only reason I say that is because the Republican Party has a tendency to, and I'm not saying that some Democrats in the past may not have been guilty of something similar. I mean, but it's still a little bit different. It kind of reminds me back in 2008 when it was Barack Obama and Joe Biden that got the nomination on the Democrat side, and then on the Republican side you had Sarah Palin with John McCain. And I think from what I understand, and this is what a lot of people on both sides had stated, that part of the reason that they chose Sarah Palin is because they thought Hillary Clinton would be the nominee for the Democrats, and so they kind of thought it was like a woman versus woman thing. I think that with this election, it wouldn't surprise me at all that no matter who the Republican nominee would be, they probably would choose either a black person or a woman to kind of, I guess you could say, pander or appeal to like an audience. But I don't see. So if Ron DeSantis, here's the scenarios that I look at. Scenario A, Ron DeSantis gets the nomination. Who do I think would be most likely his vice pick? I think his vice pick would more than likely be either Nikki Haley or Kristi Noem, who's the governor of, I believe, South Dakota.
North Dakota, actually.
Yeah, it's North Dakota.
I just looked it up. It is South Dakota. If Ron DeSantis picks a female, it's more than likely going to be Kristi Noem or Nikki Haley. I don't know if he's going to go as far as to get a Lauren Boebert or a Marjorie Greene. I mean, I'm sure he gets along with them, but he recognizes that they're too far extreme for most Americans. If Trump gets the nomination, I could see something similar happening. There was one report that it was an opinion piece that basically speculated that if Trump gets a nomination, he could choose somebody like a Carrie Lake or a Tudor Dixon to be his vice pick. So, yeah, and it's like the thing about it is this, and like I said, you all know where I stand. Regardless of which one of them gets the nomination or who gets their pick, we just have to go hard and go strong and go against them regardless. And so with the articles and the reports that I've seen that are based on opinion and speculation, I don't see any of them that hint at the idea of Tim Scott being anywhere near the top of the choices. But like I said, I mean, I don't hang in Republican circles. I'm not in the Republican Party, so I can't tell you how they're looking at Tim Scott. But I don't think it's very likely that he'll be in the White House, especially not as president or vice president. Now, if a Republican is lucky enough to get elected next time, if they choose him as secretary of, some position in the cabinet, that might be a different story. But as far as president or vice president, no, I don't think he has a chance.
No.
I agree.
Not in a million years. Not in this Republican Party. Fascists don't hate fascists hate minorities. And they hate women, and they hate gays, and they hate everybody who's not them. Yep. Okay, so...
well, but you know what? The only exception that they're willing to make to that is if they support Trump. So, of course, they were okay with Ben Carson just because he was in the Trump White House during that time, at least. They're okay with... Obviously, the only women that they're okay with are the Trump-supporting women, like Marjorie, like Lauren, like Tudor, like Marsha Blackburn, people like that.
Yeah, all those crazy.
As far as, the only one transgender person I think they're okay with is Caitlyn Jenner, only because she voted for Trump the first time around. I can't remember if she actually voted for him the second time. But besides that, you're right. They're generally not tolerant or accepting of anybody who's not a straight white male, and that's just that's a base in their party.
Yes, exactly. So, everybody, starting with Lori, Alvin Bragg was sent another letter with white powder containing in it, and it wasn't poisonous or hazardous or anything. You know, why is it that the judge not censoring Donald Trump? Because Trump is instigating things like this where he speaks the rhetoric, the hateful rhetoric, and his idiot supporters out there, the things like this. What can be done to stop foolishness like this, you think?
I think it's sort of like a double-edged sword for this judge. And I personally think he should have been censored, yes, absolutely. With his history and the way he talks constantly, off the cuff and just thinks that, But I think this judge was trying to not make it political, so to speak. Like they're picking on him, because that's what they want everyone to think, that we're picking on poor Donald Trump. The world's picking on him. Look at poor, he's got all these court dates coming up now. And mm-hmm. so I think he was kind of trying to give him the benefit of the doubt in that respect.
Oh, my God.
Do I think that down the road that he might do something? Yes, I do. But there is no mm-hmm. excuse for anyone to send anything to Alvin Bragg, because Alvin Bragg is doing his job, and he's doing a great job. And that's probably mm-hmm. why Trump is so mad. That's why. Because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
he's like,
and that's why.
I agree with Lori. He's trying mm-hmm. to not make it political. Unless Trump goes off the deep end, he won't muzzle him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you know what? But here's one thing that I want to add to that. And I'll tell you right now, and I say this every time, for as disastrous and catastrophic and embarrassing as the Trump presidency was, and for as embarrassing mm-hmm. and incompetent as his White House and his administration was, I will say, aside from the few blue waves that we got since 2018, the one major thing that I could say that's in a way indirectly beneficial to us as Democrats that came from Trump's divisiveness, his stupidity, mm-hmm. his incompetence, is the fact that he's so embarrassing to his own party that more and more people mm-hmm. are leaving him. And the fact that they're doing that, and I've seen some of Trump's closest allies are no longer talking to him. I mean, you look at people like Rudy Giuliani, who's just as racist and crooked and bigoted as he is, that, I mean, him and Trump are no longer seeing eye to eye, and mainly because Giuliani mm-hmm. was stupid enough to believe that Trump was going to help him pay his legal fees. I mm-hmm. thought that was absolutely laughable. The other thing about it, too, is this. I knew that the Republican Party was also screwed. When the 2020 election was over, and when they started the whole thing about, the voter fraud and there was cheating, the fact that even William Barr, who I can't stand, he's also bigoted, he's also crooked, he's corrupt, mm-hmm. that even he said there was no proof of voter fraud. And now even he came out and said that he would join the 2024 fight to go against Trump. But at the same time, mm-hmm. if Trump gets nominated, he'll back him again. So that clearly shows he has no spine. Aside from that, the other way that you know that this whole thing is screwed for Republicans, and I've brought this up to many conservatives who can't respond to this, is the fact that even the judges that he appointed couldn't back him mm-hmm. in the voter fraud lies. Even Brett
exactly.
Kavanaugh, even Amy Coney, even a couple of those other yep. ones that he appointed, and even some of the judges that he appointed on the federal courts for different states, most of them couldn't back his claims, and he had over 60 cases. He lost every single one of them. The Republicans mm-hmm. were the ones who chose to do an audit for the recount in these states, and in the same states that they did the audit, the results came back the same. Biden had won in Arizona and Nevada and Georgia, and then, of course, Trump had won Florida and North Carolina. And so mm-hmm. that's the thing about it. The more he opens his mouth, toxic he becomes to his party. And I think that the more he talks and the more he shows himself, it really could lead to let's keep in mind, let's not get too excited here. That's not to say that he doesn't have a chance to get the nomination.
But
you know what? But that's the thing about it. A lot of people have gotten complacent, and they think that because he's so openly ridiculous that he has mm-hmm. no chance. Well, you know what? We have to just continue to let him fracture his own party. And then a lot of mm-hmm. He's driving away more independent voters. Oh. And what the Democrats need to do is, while mm-hmm. they're doing that and while they're busy fighting themselves and breaking themselves apart, we have to continue to emphasize the accomplishments that have been done by the mm-hmm. Biden-Harris White House and continue
exactly.
to make the case
exactly.
for why they should get reelected for 2024. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, as a precinct delegate, that's exactly what I'm working on.
Yep, mm-hmm. absolutely, mm-hmm. Eric. You're absolutely right. Madeline, what do you have to say?
Well, Eric, it's a pleasure to listen to you, first of all. I'm Madalena.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time
nice to meet you. Thank you for listening.
Nice to meet you as well. In regards to Alvin Bragg, now he's got Jim
mm-hmm.
Jordan's in a tizzy. Now,
mm-hmm.
I truly do believe that the judge is paying very close attention to obviously what's going on, the attacks at Bragg, and Jim Jordan
mm-hmm.
is going to hang himself because according to the 10th Amendment, he cannot get involved in a federal in a state prosecution of any kind
mm-hmm.
from the federal
nope.
level. So all this barking that Trump is doing, the old saying is you give a man enough rope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And I think that's what the judge is going for.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get
yeah.
to a
mm-hmm.
point where he says, okay, enough. Now you've given me a reason to put a gag order on you. The envelope, Jim Jordan. That's all. That's exactly how I feel. That this is he's just waiting, and something's going to fall into place.
But you know what? And I can agree with that too. And the thing about it too is this: you know, in regards to this whole mess going on with Alvin Bragg, Jim Jordan, these judges, the courts, whatever. Everybody wants to go out and protest because of all this stuff. Here's the thing about it: I tell people plain and simple. You can't sit here and get mad at me because your person committed endless crimes, and now they're finally getting held accountable for it. Because guess what? We told you from the beginning that he was bad. We told you that before he ran for president. We told you that since 2016. We told you that in 2020. And I said you can't. So when you sit there and when the Republicans since 2016 and maybe even before 2016, when they constantly chanted about locking up Bill and Hillary Clinton for emails or whatever. I said, well, first of all, there's more of a reason. There's more of a reason to make a case that that was politically motivated as compared to what's going on right now. Number one, first of all, here's the best case I can make in regards to that, okay? Number one, we have to remember, right after Trump had won 2016, the Republicans had the entire government. They had the White House, the Senate, the Congress, and the Supreme Court. They had everything they could within their power to prosecute Bill and Hillary for the alleged crime that they claimed that they committed. Well, you had the entire government for 2 years straight, and you're telling me you couldn't get anything on them. So you tried and tried with them. So obviously there's nothing there. They still try, politically motivated. Now your guy is being held accountable because he's guilty of the many things that he accused the others of. This is not politically motivated. This is called holding somebody accountable for what they did.
He couldn't even come up with health care. He couldn't come up with health care even, okay?
No.
He had nothing. Trump care. There was no such thing. So I agree with getting back, and basically that's all going to fall back on a gag order. That's what I believe the judge is waiting for.
I do too.
Let me be honest with you right quick. So here's another thing that's – I will tell you that this is probably a little bit of a concern for mine when it comes to the Trump indictment. Now, of course, we know that there was some illegality going on with the whole Stormy Daniels thing. However, I didn't think that this was going to be the first thing that they were going to hit him with, because obviously there's things that he's done that's been way more serious than that. So if they do happen to convict him on this, yes, that's good. But they, if they're really serious, they're going to go after him for three other major things. The January 6th, two, the attempted bribery with the Georgia secretary, and three, the obstruction of justice during when he fired the FBI investigator. Now, I don't know if they're still thinking about that one, but hopefully, if they can get him on the other two.
Obviously,
there are some other cases that are a little bit more difficult to touch. So I know they talked about the rape cases from the 90s and the early 2000s. And, of course, the stuff with Russiagate had a lot of complexities to it. So it is a little more difficult to tackle them. But hopefully, they can still come about it and make a case. But when they bring this all out, like I said, it's going to be pretty much hell for him.
Hopefully so, including his taxes.
So Elaine, the E. Jean Carroll trial is set to begin this month and everything. Do you think that there'll be an indictment in that case because the evidence is all there? Did Trump give his DNA, you know, so that could further this case and everything? I think he did. He had no choice but to give his DNA. Do you think there will be a conviction to that?
Well, first of all, thank you, Eric. You bring a lot of good points to the table. I think that these multiple indictments are going to end up with which ones are the most important. There's going to be compromises made. I've made that statement before. There's going to be compromises made. And Trump, let him talk. He made a statement that has stayed with me. It was a Fox interview where he said, I don't believe in banks. I'm not worried about banks and how they're controlled. I keep all my money in cash.
Yes. You know when he said
interesting
that?
Interesting statement, isn't that?
Elaine,
Yeah, you know what?
So I figure the judge,
mm-hmm.
the attorneys,
mm-hmm.
the district attorneys are liable to say, well, let's see, this is a Fox interview and some more evidence and play it and, you know, and he's only going to, you know, tell on himself. It's like a brat child. Eventually they tell on themselves.
Yes, and you know the statement that you're talking about, Elaine. He said that in Mar-a-Lago when he made that the day he came back from New York when he was indicted, and that night when he had that big old ceremony and you know all those people there, you know, and that is when he said he doesn't need banks because he's got lots of cash. He said it himself. And
lots of cash.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I thought that was hysterical. I thought, good, keep talking.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all those donations from all his mega fans.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if they mentioned it, but like I said, I do a YouTube channel and I go live on Facebook all the time. And what I'm going to start doing, so what I primarily do, aside from talking about the entertainment stuff, is that I am obviously a promoter of Democrats, and then I do videos where I can basically call out the Republicans and the things for what they say and do, and because people seem to have somehow forgotten about some of the horrible things that took place during the Trump presidency. So what I'm here to
do
is remind everybody about the other things that took place, besides the scandal stuff, you know, besides the Russiagate, besides the January 6th. I said, listen, the guy ran against outsourcing and complained about the other presidents for outsourcing these tens of thousands of jobs, which obviously shouldn't have been done. But then in his 4 years, he outsourced more jobs than Obama did in 8 years. This guy, Obama outsourced about 87,000, 88,000 jobs. Trump outsourced over 200,000.
I know.
There was also, and there was also the thing with kicking at least 9 million people off of the ACA, the tax cuts that he gave to the ultra-wealthy, 83% of those ended up going to the top 1%. So it's like every dollar, 83% went to them. As far as the foreign policy, he's been just as disastrous, if not more, than the Bush administration. He bombed and killed Soleimani, who was fighting ISIS at the time. So that kind of made us look like a de facto ally to ISIS, which wasn't a good move. He also tore up the Paris Climate Agreement, tore up the Iran nuclear deal. He had people in here that wanted to nuke North Korea, which obviously, thankfully, that didn't happen. But for anybody to sit here and make a case that he was anti-establishment or that he's anti-interventionist, almost everything that he has said and done has virtually gone against that, and that's what we have to emphasize and call out.
And
you know what? The orange asshole wanted to nuke a goddamn hurricane in Florida. This is how dangerous this bastard is. Why would anybody support him? Seriously. And he has a nerve recently to say that he made a point that police officers and court employees were crying at his arraignment. Nobody did such a thing. They're not even holding a goddamn door for it. This is all crazy. He's so pathologically mendacious that he believes his own lies and everything. And these people who support him and continue to support him by giving him money and everything, they too, you know, not playing with a full deck, you know? They're a few fries short of a full Happy Meal, must be, because everything this guy talks and says is a lie, you know? During his presidency,
he scammed them when they gave the credit card. It was a monthly donation that they had no idea that they were making. So, I mean, he even screws his own mega people.
Yeah. He doesn't care. He has no conscience.
Isn't he under investigation for wire fraud with that money?
Yeah.
Yes.
Eric,
yes, he is.
No?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Add that to the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wire fraud and bank fraud.
Yes.
You know what? There's a lot more that I can add to this as well.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that after the election was over, he actually started this, I guess what he called it, his own other foundation, aside from the regular Trump Foundation, where he raised money and told his supporters, that if we can get enough money, we could use this to overturn election. Instead, what he did was he paid some of his legal fees. And then felt betrayed. But at the same time, a lot of those people are still supporting him. Now, let me also add this. And again, this is not to defend him. This is not to defend them. But I will say this. I think outside, and this is just my theory, I think outside of the hardcore, racist, misogynistic, bigoted, extremist supporters, the people outside of that who still like him and support him, I think the only reason why, according to them, is aside from the mess that he's been in and the mess that he, part of the mess he created, I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that when he ran for president, especially the first time, I think that because he said some things that did hit home to them when he talked about manufacturing and jobs like that, because he's a businessman. And I think, I've actually heard some people debate this on TMZ, and I understand the point, even though I don't fully agree with it. I think because you had so much of the country that wanted somebody that wasn't a politician, but they chose one of the worst people possible. And so for those people, they claimed that they felt they had nowhere else to go because they thought, hey, you know, I'm in business. He's a business guy. Maybe he can relate. Maybe he can. And so my thing about it is I think some of those people are kind of still in that mindset because he doesn't speak like a politician. He doesn't communicate like a politician. He's not. And so I think that because of that, they look at it as what you see is what you get type thing. And my argument has always been, well, just because somebody always shows you who they are, I mean, sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it's for the worse. And I think that for them, they kind of see him as just that non-political figure just because he got his name in corporate America outside of politics. But at the same time, to bring up the point that you guys brought up earlier, you're right. He does always tell on himself. Now, whether he does that on purpose to be funny or whether he's doing it accidentally is up for debate. But I will say this. In the 2016 election, and I remember he told Ted Cruz and Jeb Bush and the others about these people that were getting orders from these multimillionaire conglomerates, and he admitted he was one of them. He said, yeah, I gave you money, and I gave you money. And also, every admission or every, like, accusation toward somebody else is essentially an admission or a confession. And I don't know if he even realizes that, but, again, he knows that no matter what he says, his supporters will stick with him, and that's the one thing that he said that turned out to be true, unfortunately.
A lying, crappy businessman. Many bankruptcies and how many people he screwed and his contractors he didn't pay and the casino went to shit and his all his businesses, his steak and his college and everything else. All of it's a joke.
The airlines, the vodka.
All of it. Even his charity.
The foundation.
Well, but you know, here's another thing we have to remember, too. And here's one of the last things I'll say, and this is what has to be emphasized as well. You know, people who still believe that he wants to protect the American institutions and all these different departments, well, each person that he put in charge of those departments, most of them, if not every last one of them, they were against the department that they were put in charge of. For example, he talked about public education. Okay.
Exactly.
He puts Betsy DeVos in charge, who is actively against public education.
Yes, he talks about
environmental protection. Well, he put Scott Pruitt in charge. Scott Pruitt is against environmental protection. Then he talks about protecting the Treasury. But then he puts Steve Mnuchin in charge, who wants to lose the Treasury.
Mnuchin, exactly.
And so, you know, every single person that he has put in charge of these different cabinet positions, they have been actively against the thing that they were put in charge of, which is why it was easy to break it down in a way the way they did. And so that's what people have to remember. You know, I've actively fought against the DeVos family and actively fought against essentially everybody in that White House and most of his most of the people who have supported him as far as in the government. And so that's what we have to continue to emphasize and put on. The other two people who are on this line, two or three people, whatever, if you guys want to take down my number, that'd be great. And if you want to friend me on Facebook.
No. I'll do it. Don't give out your number on air.
Don't worry.
We'll give him your number. We don't want any freak show Republicans. We don't want a QAnon and freak show Trump supporters.
We're not going to do it.
Harassing you. So the last topic of discussion, because we have under 10 minutes left, is Senator Ted Cruz is up for re-election. And word has it that Mark Kelly, Senator Mark Kelly, his twin brother, may run for the Democratic nomination to challenge Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz is burnishing himself as a bipartisan politician, which is such a joke. These people are jokers that believe their own lies and own fallacies. Lori, what do you think?
He actually thinks that he is bipartisan, this mental case of a man. Really? That when when they had no power in Texas, he takes off to an island? Really?
Went to Mexico. Well, everybody was freed because the power grid went down.
Remember that?
Eric, your thoughts on
that? And
Ted
blamed
Cruz.
His daughter. Remember, he blamed his daughter.
Go ahead.
His daughter.
Well, you know what?
Remember?
Here's what I want to say right quick. As far as Ted Cruz running for re-election in Texas, I'll tell you, this may not be the most popular opinion, but I think that because of his name recognition, I honestly wanted – I was seeing if Beto O'Rourke or somebody of his level was going to run again down there. Just because Beto Beto O'Rourke got a lot more recognition running for governor down there than even he did running for the Senate in 2018. And so I think if he runs against Ted Cruz, it could be a toss-up. And if Cruz continues to mess up and he continues to lose people and Beto continues to use his energy and charisma to win more voters over, he might be able to edge it out. What I'm looking at right now is I see that four Democrats have declared to run for that seat. We have a number of potential candidates. I really like I like Wendy Davis. She's a potential candidate. MJ Heger, Scott Kelly, and then you have Beto O'Rourke and Joaquin Castro. So I think if one of those people wins, or if they run against them, they would one of them compared to the other names would have the highest chance against Cruz. But like I like I said, the only way that we can assure that that's going to happen, have to continue to put the pedal to the metal. We have to get people out there registered to vote. We have to continue to promote the vote. We have to continue to promote early voting. And it's really just about they have to put it, do a good message, put it in a good word so that many independent voters can understand. As long as we keep that up, we should be all right.
Yep.
And so I have hope for 2024.
You know,
yes,
Eric, what we were saying before, Eric, is also in Michigan, good things are happening here. But we have to keep in mind that, you know, the next election, everything can change. And that is why even in Michigan, we have to pay close attention. If you think for a minute that the GOP is not plotting, then, you know, we're stupid. You know what I'm trying to say? So I know that that's they have plans on trying to win, of course, in 24. And we cannot allow that. We can't. The state
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Gretchen Whitmer, and I'm not just saying this because I live in Michigan, but she is by far, if not the strongest, definitely one of the strongest governors I have seen. I'll tell you, she has had many lawsuits towards her, and many of them got thrown out. And it's like, you know, she has won against every case, and Paul Mitchell tried to sue her. It didn't work. Of course, tried to kidnap her. That didn't work. And then she flipped the state blue. And I said, you know what? She's gotten so many things done where she was able to invest all this money into building more houses, apartment complexes, condos. She's funding K-12 education, building more bridges and fixing the bridges. More roads are getting fixed. And a lot of it's
getting done.
Without screw up our tax. I said, this right here, I heard numbers are going up, and this is why she's gaining more independence. I said, this, this right here. Got to be the best governor that I've seen from Michigan so far. I'm glad that I...
Hear, hear.
Actually. She's actually the first person I've voted for in a governor's race, and I'm glad to say that.
Oh, yeah. I think she's awesome.
We're proud of her. All three of them. We got a trio.
Secretary
of State, Attorney General, and Governor.
I actually met her in person during the campaign. I'm trying to get her on the show. She agreed, so we're just trying to figure out when.
Okay.
For sure.
Yes, ma'am. Listen, that has to be the final word because we're running out of time fast. Elaine, Madeline, Susie, Eric, Ollie, you're from Michigan. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate the contribution you made tonight.
Eric, we will share your information.
Absolutely. Like I said, I don't want to do anything that causes trouble on this show. So just whatever you guys
want
to
get. Well, not on the show. Not for you. Not trouble for us. Trouble for you. Follow?
Right. I get you. So, like I said, Elaine, Madeline, Susan, it was good to hear from you all as well. Thank you for hearing me. And like I said, I'm on Lori's friend list. I'm on David's friend list. And they'll give you my email. They'll give you my number. They'll give you my YouTube channel. All my information is public. You have any questions, reach out to me. You need to know who candidates are running in your area. I usually have
Eric
the information. Feel free to come to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we will.
Yes, ma'am.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for calling in.
Everybody have a nice night.
Have a good evening.
Yes, ma'am.
Well.
You too.
Sleep well,
yes,
everybody.
Ma'am. Okay, so the topic tonight, They Won't Stop at Raw. This is Season 4, Episode 26. The date is April 13, 2023. This has been a good show, productive. Republicans, like we said, they have no shame or no sense of decency. If Richard Nixon were alive, he'd be embarrassed, and Nixon was no Boy Scout. The Southern strategy is in full swing. They have no shame. You know, the lie, the cheat, the steal, the gerrymander, we're not going to make them get away with it in 2024. We'll have to go out there, register to vote, and get people out. Thanks to millennials in 2022, we got over the hump and everything because millennials, for the most part, not voting Republican. I love that. Until Monday, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. This has been Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. And like I said before, we are the Democracy Defenders. Good night, everybody.
If you knew my story, what would work? I just wanna have a share. It didn't need the world.